Well, hi, and welcome to the Grace Christian Church podcast with Pastor Rob Parlente. Grace Christian Church is a contemporary, non-denominational church meeting right here in Manalpin, New Jersey. We meet Sundays, 10 a.m. at the Manalpin Community Center. Come check us out.
So the title of my message this morning is Debit or Credit? So it's a question I'm getting. Debit or Credit? And we're going to look at Romans chapter 4, with the key verse being verse 3. So Romans chapter 4, verse 3. So a few months ago, my son was sick, and I had to get a prescription for him. And what we do is we find a pharmacy that works for us. So we end up going to a pharmacy in one of the local chains, food chains, large one. I don't want to say the name. But you know what? My wife loves the store. She goes in every day, basically. So I went to the counter, and I got the prescription, and I asked how much it was. She gave me the price, and I said, did you run it through insurance? And she said, yes, and sometimes, just to give you the word of advice, sometimes it's more money to buy it through the insurance than it is to buy it directly from the store. And I believe it's because they subsidize the medication. So I ended up saying, okay, go through the insurance. And then she asked me, will you pay cash or you pay with a card? And I said, I will pay a card with the card, because I didn't have the cash on me. And then she asked me, is it a debit card or is it a credit card? Okay? I said, credit card. So I put my card in the machine and I pressed the button and the transaction was made and I got the medication. Now, what's the difference between a debit card and we'll educate you this morning and a credit card? Well, a debit card is tied to your bank account and the money comes right out of your bank account. And a credit card, a company gives you credit and you pay that later on at a later time. Hopefully within a month or so. So she asked me credit or debit, and I said credit, and it transacted. But debit and credit is another term. Now, I don't know who's an accountant in the room today or a bookkeeper. I know we have one, the CPA over there. But it also has another meaning in the accounting realm. You check a box or a ledger with something which is a debit and something is a credit. So a debit, let's say, in summary, very simply we could say, now you can correct me, the CPA, but it's a debit is an expense or a loss, correct?
Very good, very good.
An expense or a loss. And a credit is an income or a gain. So something to the effect of when we say credit, it's a gain, and if it's a debit, it's a loss, all right? Now, it's interesting in the book of Romans chapter 4 that Paul uses the word credit 10 times. So if a word is used a lot in verses, that means it's a key thought or a key idea within that section of Scripture. So Paul used the word 10 times, credit, in the book of Romans chapter 4. And Paul is telling us that something can only be credited by faith or gained by faith. And then he goes through chapter 4 and he talks about what this is. And really what is it? It's righteousness. We'll get to that. You're credited righteousness by faith. And then he goes to chapter 4 and he looks at the life of Abraham. Okay, Old Testament saint Abraham, who walked by faith and stumbled in faith, but had faith. So today, this is what we're going to do. We're going to look at chapter 4, and we're going to see that Abraham was credited righteousness by faith. And we're going to discover today that what faith ensures in the life of a believer today, when we look at the Old Testament saint Abraham. Here are my points here. Faith does this. Faith ensures, faith credits righteousness, faith allows man to rest in God's promises, and faith is living in dependence on God. Now I'm going to read Romans 4, 3, if you have your Bibles, go there, and I'm looking at the NASB version, and then we'll open in prayer. So if you have your Bible, open to Romans 4, 3. It says this, for what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Let's bow our heads and pray. Thank you, Lord, for, again, every week I say, for the Scriptures, for salvation through Christ, and that we have the availability to become righteous by faith. I pray, Lord, as we look at Abraham and look at his life, and we look at our lives and examine our lives today, that we realize that you are the answer. You give righteousness. It's by faith. It's not by works. It's not by laws. By law. It's not by anything but you. And I pray, Lord, you open our hearts and minds to understand that all your promises and Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So to start off, I've been saying every week, what is the gospel? Because you know what? The whole book of Romans, chapter 1, 16, 17, talks about the gospel as being the theme verse of the whole book. But what is the gospel? What is the clear explanation in scripture of the gospel? And I'll tell you, it's Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 to 4. I said this the last several weeks. It's this verse. Memorize this verse, mark it in your Bible. It says this, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So the gospel is Christ died for our sins, Christ was buried, Christ was resurrected. When we believe that, we have spiritual life, amen? That's God's offer of spiritual life to mankind. The book of Romans explains this in great detail in different levels, but that's the basic idea of the gospel. The theme verse for the book, we saw it a few weeks ago. Chapter 1, 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Remember those verses? Paul brought that out as a key verse. We looked at the two, 3 weeks ago. A key verse in chapter 2 was chapter 2, verse 4. Remember that. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. You know, that's God's grace. God's grace leads you to a change of mind. It's not forcing you or manipulating you. It's his grace, what he offers. Then we looked at last week. Key verse in Romans chapter 3 would be 3:23 and 24, which is, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as his gift by his grace through redemption, which is in Christ Jesus. What is that saying? That no man is righteous. They try to be righteous in their self-effort, but compared to God, they are not. So, up to this point, a real quick summary. What do we see? Paul sends the letter to Rome. He addresses it to the saints of Rome, Jews and Gentiles. Paul never visited Rome. He talks about the gospel. Chapter 1, the end of 1, he talks about creation reveals God. And if we really are interested to know who God is, then he will show us and give us the message of the gospel. We talked about at the end of chapter 1 that people think they need all these other things. People are searching for love, acceptance, value, worth, and significance in things of the world. And God says, you know, if you think it's going to satisfy you, your emptiness, take it and try it. I gave them over to that. But the end result of that is it doesn't, brothers and sisters. God is pointing and showing them they won't meet that need. It's Jesus Christ. But he talks about that in chapter 1. Then in chapter 2, he talks again about judging all those people and all those sins. And I said it last time. We don't judge people into the kingdom of God. We love them into the kingdom of God. Amen? Mm-hmm. We show them their need of Jesus Christ. Then last week, we looked at, again, no man is righteous, no, not one. And you know what? Compared to God, we are not righteous. Because we are only righteous by this one thing we saw last week, which was what? It was by faith. Amen? So we're up to this point. Now we're going to look at chapter 4. The key verse is, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So Paul now changes gears and looks at the life of Abraham. We've heard of this guy, right? Abraham, father Abraham, an Old Testament seed. So let's look at this now. Let's look at the first point. Faith credits righteousness. And the word I said in the beginning, credit, appears 10 times in this section of scripture. It's verses 4-3. If you have your Bible, circle it. 4:3, 4:4, 4:5, 4:6, 4:9, 4:10, 4:11, 4:22, 4:23, and 4:24. The word credit. Okay, something's gained. But then in verse 4:3, 4:5, and 4:9, those verses are referenced to Abraham. And then in verse 4:24, it's referenced to believers. And it's coupled with another word. It's coupled with another word called faith or belief. So to be credited, to have something gained, is coupled with this one thing, it's faith or to believe. We are credited righteous by faith, amen? It says it right here in those verses, and Abraham as an example of an Old Testament saint was, amen? And then Paul talks about Abraham. You know, Abraham was an Old Testament saint. Now I always thought, when I first received Christ years ago and started studying the scriptures, I said, oh my goodness, how do these Old Testament saints believe? They didn't see no Christ, right? But Old Testament saints looking forward to the cross are justified by faith, amen? We are past the cross looking back. are justified by the same faith. We're looking back to the cross. They looked forward to the cross. So righteousness, this thing righteousness, is God. God is perfect morality and perfect justice. And we can only be made righteous. We can only be made approved. We can only become spiritually be alive by this one thing. It's faith in Christ, faith in the gospel, faith in Christ's death, burial, and the resurrection for the forgiveness of our sins. Amen. Now, when we leave this earth physically, we're going to end up in heaven with God, and we're going to see a guy like Abraham. Amen. We're going to see all those Old Testament saints, and we can actually talk to them and see. That was it back then in the first century, whatever it was. Amen. We'll see every saint from eternity past to eternity forward. We will see every single person who has been declared righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. You know what? At the end of chapter 3, I just want to remind you of this, that Paul said again, that we maintain that a man is justified by faith, made right, apart from the works of the law. So important, such a huge emphasis I want to make today, that we cannot work our way to righteousness. We cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot work our way to be justified. It's by faith. Every religion in the world gives man a list of works to do to attain righteousness. Christianity says you're righteous by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? You can't work your way to Christ. You can't work your way to righteousness. You can't work your way to spiritual life. It's only by faith. So, brothers and sisters, He is the way. But as a Christian, we fall back into the trap of wanting to work, wanting to achieve something, and not letting God work in our lives by faith. And I'll get to that in a little bit, in a few minutes. Amen? So the first point is, faith ensures and credits righteousness. Second point. Faith allows man to rest in God's promises. Now, we have to know a little bit about this guy called Abraham. Because Abraham, we see in Genesis, was a man God spoke to. He was a Hebrew. He was a Jew. And God gave Abraham this thing called the Abrahamic Covenant. The Abrahamic Covenant. In Genesis 12, 13, 14, 15, you can see it all in there. What is a covenant? To understand chapter 4 of Romans, we have to understand the Abrahamic covenant. But what is a covenant? A covenant is an agreement. Okay? In turn, it's an agreement. And there's two kinds of covenants. There's a conditional covenant, and there's an unconditional covenant. A conditional covenant says, if you do this, then I will do that. If you don't do this, I won't do that. No, some other action. But an unconditional covenant is one way. It's somebody saying, I'm going to do this no matter what you do, positive or negative. I'm going to do this, right? So the Abrahamic covenant was an unconditional covenant from God to Abraham. You have to understand this to understand chapter 4 in Romans. And this is the covenant. It's Genesis 12, 1 to 3. If you have your Bibles, go there. I'll read it. This is the covenant God made with Abraham. Actually, his name was Abram at the time. He changed it to Abraham later on. But here it says, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. The Abrahamic covenant is an unconditional covenant from God. It basically is three areas. There's a promise of land, which is basically verse 1. There's a promise of descendants, which is verse 2. And there's a promise of blessings and redemption in verse 3. This is still in operation today, brothers and sisters. This covenant has not ceased. And we're looking forward to this time when they will inherit the land, which is an end times message, which is not for today. But the land has not been possessed by them, or by the Abraham, or by the Jewish nation. That's in the future. But you know what? God made this promise to Abraham, this unconditional covenant. And he said, verse 13 of chapter 4, for the promise to Abraham, or to his descendants, that he would be the heir of the world, was not through the law, but through the righteous of faith. So this promise was not by the law. It wasn't by doing something, it was by faith. The only thing Abraham had receive that promise was to have this one world called faith. That's it, just faith. And he reinforces that again. He said in verse 14, for if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. You know what? God didn't say to Abraham, you have to do something to receive that promise. He didn't say you have to keep the law to receive that promise. He didn't say anything like that. He said it was by faith. He was made right by faith. He walked in faith. He received this covenant by faith. Now, I want to talk about God's promises because that was one promise to him. But what about to us today as believers? God promises a lot of scripture, a lot of things in Scripture. I just Googled. There's 3,500 promises in the Scripture. 3,500 promises. Okay. Well, so today, we struggle with this. Okay. We think we need to do something. Okay. We don't rest and by faith receive what God has for us. But we do. We try another way. We try to perform. We try to keep the law. You know what? We try to do other things. We try our own works. Okay? God's saying, no, I'm not going to give you the promise if you think it's in your self-effort. I want you to trust me. I want you to experience me. I will give it to you by faith. Amen? This is where I believe the rubber meets the road. Do we try to achieve the promise, or do we receive the promise? Do we try to achieve it, or do we receive it by faith? Brothers and sisters, we receive it by faith like Abraham received it by faith. Now, I'm going to tell you, I learned this a long time ago, not a long time, 20 years ago. I'll tell you my own personal experience. Now, I was 38 years old. We lived in Bergen County, and I worked for one company. I talked to share this a lot. 12 years, one company. Almost real out of school. And one day they called me in for a meeting and they said, basically, you're no longer, services are no longer required here after 12 years. And I realized that the management in that company was basically jealous or trying to create bad reviews for me. They just didn't want me in that company anymore. Don't know why. Just not sure. But I've always done my job professionally and I always achieved my goals. I always did well in the company. But you know what? I was there for almost 10 years. And they said to me one day, you're gone. You're let go. No longer required. 10 years. Now, I had a house in Bergen County. I had a mortgage. I had my wife. And I had three children. Okay? And now I have no income. Right? Came home. Told my wife. And you know what she did, right? Started crying. Burst into tears. What are we going to do? And she got me thinking, what am I going to do? But you know what? Back then it was a pivotal point in me and my Christian walk because I said, Lord, you know what? You promised, and you promised in your scripture, you will take care of me. You promised you will provide for me. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying, God, I'm just going to let you do it. I'm going to rest in your promise. And you know what he did? He gave me a job. Different, totally different company. In like a week, 2 weeks, whatever it was. 2 weeks, I had another appointment. Made the same salary, and it was just basically, wonderful, wonderful change there. And he changed me from that location to a new location and a new job. And he told me a lot of things there to trust him, okay? He told me what? You know what? I didn't manipulate God for that job. He did it. He worked it out. It was by faith. I just prayed, Lord, what do you want me to do? Guide me and direct me. And I learned, and what I learned there is God is sovereign and he can do anything he wants, brothers and sisters. You know that? You trust that he could do that. You know what? I didn't have to manipulate him. I didn't have to go an extra mile. I didn't have to keep the law. You know what? I just prayed and had faith that he would provide for me, and he did. Then other things I learned, that the Lord was trying to teach me that, you know what? Your identity was in that job. Mm. You thought, you know, if you asked me who I was, I would have said it was my career title. Not anymore, brothers and sisters, right? You ask me who I am? I'm a child of God. I'm in Christ. That's my identity. Yeah. But my identity was in that, and he taught me, you know what? I'm going to take that away from you so you realize that's not your identity in that job. So I learned that. Okay? Then he said, trust me again. I'm going to move you to a new location. He moves me to where, guys? Manalapan, New Jersey. Amen? Now, 20 years later, 19 years later, we're in a community center in Manalapan, New Jersey. And I'm a pastor in Manalapan, New Jersey. That is not a coincidence, brothers and sisters. God said, I want you to go from even this new job, move from here to here. I'm going to have a plan for your life, just trust me. Right. So you know what? Rest in God's promises. Rest in his promises and let him work by faith, like Abraham. Let God work his promises and fulfill them in you, things you learn about yourself, through you, and to you. Amen? That is so important. That is so important because you know what? Receive it by faith. But here's another point about faith. Faith is living in dependence on God. Romans 4, 19 and 20 says, without becoming weak in faith, he, this is Abraham, contemplated his body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with retrospect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in the faith, giving glory to God. There's a lot of narrative with God, where Abraham's wondering who's going to be his descendants. Right? You know the narrative, right? He needed to have children. He said, one of my slaves will be my heir. God says, no, it's going to be from your natural body, from your offspring. Your heir is going to come from you. Remember the story back in Genesis? And he told him, you would see this. He said in Genesis 15:5, this is another promise, kind of along with the Abrahamic covenant, saying this, 15:5. Look outside, and he said, this is Abraham, God to Abraham. Look towards the heavens and count the stars, if you're able to count them. And he said, so shall your descendants be. This is what God said to Abraham about his descendants then. Look at all the stars. You know what? I said, how many stars are there? I Googled it. Google's great, man. Mm-hmm. Guess how many stars? On a conservative amount. 100 billion stars, brothers and sisters. 100 billion stars. So he looked up and he saw basically 100 billion stars. He said, all my descendants are going to be that many? Okay? That's a lot of offspring, amen. But you know what? Abraham heard that. But now, when did this going to happen? God never said this is when it's going to happen. But he said it's going to, but he didn't tell them when. And what happened here is that Abraham's wife had a lack of faith in what God promised, and she tried to convince, and she did convince Abraham, that God's not going to come through on that promise. Okay? So she devised a plan. She said this. She was a source of doubt. She seeded doubt of unbelief in his life. In Genesis 16:2, Sarai said to Abraham, behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children for her. And Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. So what was going on there, brothers and sisters? God gives us promises, amen? They're all laid out in the scriptures. He specifically gave one to Abraham about his offspring. His wife sowed seeds of doubt and unbelief in his life, and he decided that, you know what? I'm going to go with that plan, her plan, and not God's plan. That happens every single day in our lives, brothers and sisters. Follow his plan. Don't follow your plan or somebody else's plan. He wants you by faith to rest in his promises. Amen? You know what? God, these enemies, you know, the enemy is in all this. You know? He wants us to self-trust. We get all this negative doubting, seeds of doubt from relationships, close relationships, right? It's the world system telling us don't trust Christ. Don't trust in his promises, okay? Why all of a sudden did she say this? Why did Sarah all of a sudden make this plan, brothers and sisters? Why? Lack of faith. Didn't believe. And Abraham went along with what his wife said. So I say this. Who in your life right now is persuading you to self-trust, not trust God's and God's promises? And I'm going to make a plea. Don't listen to them. Stand firm in his promises and don't waver, and God will work, amen, in great ways. Because when we don't do that, we devise our own plan, we substitute our plan for his plan and his promise, and we get sidetracked. There's consequences, okay? We delay the promise. Now, we know what happened, right? Abraham did go with the maidservant Hagar and had a son, and what was his name? Ishmael. Okay? 14 years later, he had another son through his wife called Isaac. Now, think about that. 14 years later, the promise finally came to be. Through his loins, he had a son. But you know what? There was a consequence to that first choice, right? And think about this. Today, that conflict, and you can read all about it, the conflict in the family, relational conflict between Hagar and Sarah and their children, Isaac and Ishmael, is still today ongoing, because that's the Arab nations against the Jewish nations. So Abraham's choice, years ago, is still today, we are having the consequence of that decision. That happens in our lives too, brothers and sisters. We make decisions like he did, bypassing God's plan because we think our plan is better. And there's consequences of that. But God says, no, just trust me. Just trust me. I will give you what I promise I will give you in my timing. Amen? We need to do that by faith. You know what? Then it says in verse 20, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know, did Abraham, I would say, did waver a little bit on his way to grow strong in faith. Because he may have had some, and you can read them all about Abraham. He had some bad choices there, but eventually his son, eventually he was going to sacrifice Isaac, eventually God showed him not to do that, and that was a type of Christ being risen from the dead. We know that. But Abraham's faith grew, but he had a lot of stumblings along the way, amen? But you know what? God's promises are in the Scriptures. Do you believe it? Do you see them there? Do by faith you receive it? You know, faith is this. It's dependence on God and his promises. You know what? My question is today, this morning, who are you depending on? Who are you depending on? He wants you to depend on him, brothers and sisters. Amen? So in conclusion, debit or credit? Credit? Debit or credit? Do you believe God credits you righteousness? Yep. Do you believe the gospel? Yep. Do you believe God is the offer of spiritual life? Yep. It's your choice. It's always your choice. God wants you to come to him. God wants you to depend on him. God wants you to have an intimate relationship with him. God wants you to rest in his promises. God wants you to work and show you how he works. God wants you to experience him. That's what he wants, brothers and sisters. We are in the new covenant. We're not in the old covenant. God isn't an ogre up there getting ready to punish us if we sin. No, God wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants to show us his agape love to us and in us, reveal errors we believe in, and he wants us to live in him and him through us. That is what he wants. That's a credit. That to me is a big gain. That's a credit. That's not a debit. You know what we lose? The debit? We lose spiritual deadness and we credit spiritual life.
Amen.
So what does faith do? Credits righteousness. It allows man to rest in his promises. You know what? We can waver, but by faith we should rest in them and watch him work. And faith is living in dependence on God. God is always there. God never changes. God always wants you to come to him. God wants you to depend on him. And the bottom line is this. If you could do it on your own, you wouldn't need God.
Amen.
Amen? You need him. So I'm going to close this in prayer. And my wife is going to come up and sing the last song. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the scriptures. Talking about Abraham today as an example of as an Old Testament saint. I pray, Lord, that we would have learned from him the lessons. When we step out into our own plan or promise, that there's consequences. And you will never bless that, Lord, because you want us to trust you and your promise, not our own. I pray, Lord, that some of us who have maybe off track right now would come back to you, depend on you, and see you work. Trust in you in all things. Be credited righteousness and have a walk of faith. I pray, Lord, that you work in our lives. You keep teaching us and opening our hearts, and speaking to our hearts, and giving us your truth. Thank you, in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
You want all to come to faith in you and offer that free gift of spiritual life that just comes through simply believing. Believing who you are, who you say you are, and trusting you. Trusting you and putting our faith and our hope and our confidence in you, Father God. And I thank you so much for that. I thank you for the word today, the message. I pray that you moved in hearts, Father, that you spoke to hearts and helped us to realize it's just simple faith. It's not our works. It's not our self-effort. It's not our striving. It's not our performance. It's just trusting you. And just once we place our trust in you, Father, that we're just so overwhelmed with your love and your presence and your power and gratitude that all those wonderful things will flow in us, through us, and out to others, Father God. And I pray that you cause us to have that fire within us, Father God, to be fruitful for you and just to draw people to you, Father God. And I thank you for this time today. I thank you for people that are here. I thank you for the visitors as well, Father God. Thank you what you're doing in the body of Grace Christian Church. In your precious and holy name.